All right, welcome back to the Run Dot Down post game show here on the Strickland YouTube channel. If you're listening to this the day after Strickland Podcast Network, I'm Sam. I'm joined by Tyrese. The Knicks win once again, led by the amazing Jalen Brunson once again, 128-117 over Chicago Bulls. 47-32 is our record now. So much great things to get into regarding the Knicks playoff, all that good stuff. Before we get into that, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's get into it. Jalen Brunson. Another 40-point game, back-to-back 40-point games. I mean, this is like the first time a Knick has had back-to-back 40-point games since he had back-to-back 40-point games earlier this year, I believe.
Did he have back-to-back 40?
I think so.
He probably might have.
He did. He had. It was when he had the 50 and the 40-point game back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now four straight games with at least 35 points. 45 points tonight on 7 of 12 from the three-point line, 8 assists. Only Luka has more 45-point games this season. Jalen Brunson, just an absolutely amazing basketball player. What more can we say about Jalen Brunson? I mean, like... There's no more adjectives to describe how great he has been for us, what he's been doing for this team. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm kind of like speechless at this point of like how amazing he's been.
Kyrie Irving would do that. That's all I got to say. Kyrie Irving, you seen them layups, nigga? Kyrie Irving. Layups. You see the handle he got on him, nigga? Kyrie Irving would have had us first seed. Fuck a third seed. We would have been first seed with Kyrie Irving, number one option, because that's been great his entire career. You know, that's the guy I want leading my franchise, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I mean, today was some amazing discourse, of course, and we'll get into all that. But yeah, I mean, shout out to Jalen Brunson leading the way once again. I mean, he just is able to get it done in just such a variety of ways. The fourth quarter was absolutely special from him. He just was able to do whatever we needed him to, whether that was hit the three, find the open man, make the right play, just continuing to be amazing. It's a travesty that he's not in MVP talk seriously. I mean, the NBA puts out their weekly stupid NBA.com ladder, and he's always almost never on it, which is ridiculous. And there are people that are on the play-in teams that are on it. So, I mean, the NBA, if they want some credibility, they got to actually like recognize the talent that they have in their league. And it's a shame that it's probably going to take like a year or so for Jalen Brunson to actually get the proper recognition that he actually deserves at this point, but he'll always get the special recognition from us. And shout out to Jalen Brunson and the Nova guys are getting a slam cover tomorrow. So
we will be purchasing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
As soon as it drops, we will be purchasing.
Yeah, them shit's gonna be sold out instantly. One OG Anunoby made his return to form today. 24 points on 10 of 18 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3. I'm hoping that this is, you know, the OG Anunoby that we get come playoff time, especially consistently in the playoffs. It would definitely make Jalen Brunson and the rest of the team's life that much more easier. So, yeah, I mean, Tyrese, your thoughts on Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby leading the way today?
I mean, not much more you can say about Jalen Brunson. He's just one of them ones. He's that guy. First team All-NBA, but he's not going to get it because of politics and because of that light skin and bean sound who can't even draw a free throw. but we move. Yeah, there's just not much more you can say about Jalen Brunson because he's just an incredible basketball player who should have been an all-star starter, should be first-team All-NBA, won't get the accolades he deserves just because the media market or whatever, whatever. But like you said, he's appreciated where he's home. And OG missed a couple bunnies, which is not his normal, but the fact he's able to hit his threes, especially a variety of threes, he was doing it off movement. He was doing it off the catch and shoot. He was getting to his spots in the mid-range and finishing there. So it's good to kind of see him get into a groove offensively. 35 minutes as well. He didn't really look hampered. There was that one play where DeRozan like kind of jumped into his elbow and you kind of were like, oh shit, is he going to be out? But he got right back up and then he was able to handle himself. So it's good to see him play through some, play for some extended minutes and ultimately be productive as well in those minutes.
Yeah, I mean, not much more you can ask for from him. You know, he looks like he's, I mean, I was concerned about the shooting and I mentioned it on the last post game and he, lo and behold, he comes out the next game and shoots 4 of 6 from three and gets a bunch of dunks, cutting to the basket, stuff like that. So he's definitely looking much more comfortable. He's wearing this huge, like not huge, but like this like noticeable elbow sleeve that looks like, it looks like more like a brace that looks like, I don't know, whatever it's doing, it's helping his elbow this time. It looks much more contained than it did when he first came back from the elbow surgery. So, yeah, it's just good to see him looking back in form. We had one Josh Hart tonight who played 46 minutes and put up 17, 13, and 7. 6-7 from the field, 1-1 from three-point and hit all four of his free throws. So, yeah, I mean, shout out to Josh Hart. He was missing from the last game versus the Bulls, and that was very noticeable as the Bulls were able to take care of the glass. I mean, that also was a in one that was due to Andre Drummond, who got hurt this game, who also contributed to probably one of the stupidest plays I've seen.
That is Shaq and a Fool first ballot.
I haven't seen a play that stupid in so long. And the fact that they were down when they did that, it's just like, how do you do that when you're down?
Like, how do you not communicate that it's going to be a lob off the glass to himself? And the fact that Torrey Craig's face makes it even funnier because he's like, he feels Andre Drummond behind him. And he's like, oh, shit. Yeah, just really, really stupid play from Drummond and Craig. But back to Josh Hart. I mean, 6 of 7 from the field, hit a three, cash at the line, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, flirting with another triple-double. This is the Josh Hart you want to see come playoff time. This, the ability to take those corner threes, hopefully make them at a decent clip. Being able to like get into the paint and hit those step back, not those step backs, but like those floaters and those like pivot shots off of 2 feet, being able to get that shot is really crucial for him and his offense. And ultimately just attacking the glass the way he does. He's incredible, man. It's not much more you could say about him. He is insanely versatile. He's 6'4", but he's realistically a big wing. And I think he helps OG a lot because he's able to find cutters going to the basket, and OG excels at cutting. His ability to just playmake off of the short roll, him and Hartenstein, really unlocks OG and makes him thrive within this offense. So, yeah, man, Josh Hart is like the key to really unlocking this team's potential. If he's got it going offensively, then it's even harder to beat the Knicks, which is a testament to how good this team is, even despite the fact that Julius Randle's hurt.
Yeah, and you know, shout and credit to this team for, you know, finding a way to rally, I guess, and sort of like reconstruct their identity in a way. Following the Julius Randle, like even before we knew that he wasn't coming back, the way that they were able to just kind of reconstruct their identity and like I embraced this like kind of like small ball ish kind of lineup and like, you know, really go full force in embracing Jalen Brunson ball, as I would like to call it now. And yeah, you're just seeing the dividends of it and it's paying off. And you're just hoping that come playoff time, we get the right matchups and things just go our way and we're able to still make a really strong run. Cause I think this team is still capable of doing that. As we see OG getting back in form, we see Mitch getting back in form, you know, hopefully Bogdanovich and Deuce, they're able to keep their offensive production. Deuce and both Bogey didn't have the best offensive games today, but hopefully, you know, they're able to put up when, you know, push comes to shove in those playoff matchups. You know, there's going to be those games where we need, you know, a couple bench guys to just give us a couple good minutes of run while Brunson maybe is getting a quick rest or so. So, you know, you're just hoping those two guys are able to do that. And yeah, Burks is out of the rotation. No Precious tonight. No Burks. Looks like Thibs is like starting to really hone in on this playoff lineup. And yeah, it looks like this is going to be our playoff rotation. Just Mitch, Deuce, and Bogey off the bench. And if you told someone at the beginning of the year, if you told me at the beginning of the year that Deuce was going to be one of the eight guys that we play in the playoff rotation, I would have laughed you off the face of the earth, probably.
I mean, yeah. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but that's a testament to how effective he's been. He wasn't that effective tonight, but the fact that for the season he's been so good, especially defensively, credit to him, man, because it's hard going from not playing and not being in the rotation to now being asked to play 40 minutes at one point, and now he's kind of settled into 22 minutes a game. But that could go up or down depending on how Devo plays and how Hart plays. So he's going to be really crucial for this team going forward. He's going to be tasked to run that non-Brunson lineup. And hopefully him and Bogey can give us something offensively. So here's hoping.
Yeah. DiVincenzo gave us a nice little calm 21, 4, and 6. 8 of 15 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3. Little calm DiVincenzo game. It's so funny. Like I was looking at the timeline today, and like I have some mutuals that are like Bucks fans, and they were just talking about how like bad the process was in terms of the trade. DiVincenzo for it was basically a DiVincenzo for Ibaka swap. And like they're saying, I saw a lot of Bucks fans and other fans. They were just like, you know, it's not even like hindsight bad process. Like even in the moment, it was bad process because like you just don't give up the potential of what DiVincenzo would possibly become for the rotting corpse of Serge Ibaka and whatever you thought he was going to provide at that stage in his career. But I mean, yeah, I mean, shout out to DiVincenzo. He's come here. He's made a career for himself this year so far. I mean, he's like over 273s on the season. And if he started the whole year, he probably would have been in 300 clubs. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Bucks have just made a lot of baffling decisions the last couple of years after their championship. And part of it is just like they traded 5 first-round picks for Jay Crowder and they acquired second round pick. Sorry, my bad. Just a lot of moves that don't make any sense. They haven't, and now they have like what, 1 second round pick to trade, and that's it. It just kind of feels like that team is at the end of whatever they're doing. They're at the end of it. It just kind of feels like they're too old. Like, they're starting a lot of Giannis is the youngest player in it, and Giannis, I'm pretty sure, is 30. So, it's like, crazy. It just kind of shows that, like, they've gotten really old. They don't really have any young talent coming down the pipeline. And even if they did, Doc Rivers is going to play young talent. So, I don't know where they go from here. Hopefully, Giannis is okay, but, like, I doubt he plays the rest of the regular season now. And if that's the case, the Bucks could potentially find themselves in fourth
Like, they could drop a fourth or fifth. I'm
very, very grim.
This might be it. This might be it. I mean, if you're Giannis, you look around and you go, is this team any better? I mean, nobody wants Chris Middleton on that contract. Nobody, maybe teams want Brook Lopez, but like, Brook looks especially washed this year. And it's like, you don't really have any capital. So I don't know what they do, but yeah, they just made a string of moves that don't make any sense. And it really started with that DiVincenzo trade where it's like, you have a guy who coming off an injury last year is probably going to take some time to get into form. And granted, you have championship expectations, but it's also like, you could have used a guy like that, especially next to Dame. So, very questionable decision making, but the Knicks have benefited from it, so can't complain.
Right. Yeah, all right, let's get to some comments. We got quite a few comments rolling in. Make sure you guys leave a comment if you want us to get your thoughts up here. All right, here we go. Chris Bernhard, speaking our language here. DeMar DeRozan is the biggest loser on the planet. I'm glad we drafted Jordan Hill over him. Nastiest foul baiter whistle in the league. He's done absolutely nothing for it. He also says, I'm glad the Bulls are the definition of mid and going nowhere fast. That's what they get for employing DeRozan. He's my number one enemy, and I feel no sympathy that Kawhi took his ring. Hey,
agreed.
We're here at the Strickland, of course, especially me and Therese, stand with you in your hatred for DeMar DeRozan. We can't stand playoff shrinkers and chokers who get reputations that do not precede them. So, yeah, I don't like DeRozan. He sucks.
He's a dark arts user.
He is definitely a master of the dark arts, as the whale Windhorse likes to say.
I'm sorry, like that. The fact that you could talk about DeMar DeRozan and not mention the dark arts is nuts. But Jalen Brunson, because he gets whacked every time he goes to the rim, is like, foul baiting is just stupid. But I mean, yeah, DeMar DeRozan is a filthy basketball player who shrivels when it gets warm. And oh, look, it's April. It's April, but DeMar DeRozan isn't able to come up when it matters the most. I've been saying it for 3 years. When that weather gets warm, DeRozan gets cold. And that weather outside, it's starting.
In New York, it was 70. It was 75 degrees today, man. You know, it's getting up there.
He could feel it. It's like Groundhog Day.
He knows.
When that DeMar DeRozan stinker kicks in, that's when you're like, oh, wow, it's spring.
Yep.
And that 9-10 play-in game against the Hawks is coming.
Ugh, that's so gross. Like, no one's going to watch that shit.
I will watch it just to be filthy, because there probably won't be anything else on TV, but like...
Yeah, I mean, for the sake of just watching something to watch it, yeah. But, I mean, I'm not going to enjoy watching it.
You have a parlay on it. Stop it.
Hell yeah.
You will absolutely have a parlay on it.
It's gonna be like what, one of two games that day? Of course I'm gonna have a parlay on it. Anytime there's like a limited amount of games, gotta put a parlay on. You never know what you're gonna hit.
A parlay on a play-in game. Have some shame.
Bruh, stakes are the highest, players are going all out. That's the best time to bet.
You know,
just like these last couple weeks in April.
Oh boy.
You never know. You might hit like some Garrison Matthews and some Obi Toppin type shit, you know?
One day you're gonna call that number and we'll be better off for it.
Better off? You mean broke?
Okay.
Jojo Liddy, he brings up like a good question. Shout out to Jojo Liddy. With Giannis potentially dealing with a serious injury, how does this change the makeup of the East for the Knicks? Road still seems to run through Boston, but the Bucks are even more cooked. Terry, I'll let you handle this one first.
The Knicks are the second best team in the conference, but we knew that already.
But yeah, and JJ Redick kind of spoke on this on his pod. He spoke about, I think he spoke about this on his pod. But yeah, the Knicks were like the second best team in the East, even with the Randall injury. I think that's how he kind of saw things shaking out in the East, just with how we've played. since Randle went down with OG, like the things just all point to the Knicks being that second best team in the conference. But yeah, it's looking very dark, very grim for the Bucks right now. They're saying it's a calf strain. The way it looked definitely like it was something potentially more than that. We usually know the calf strain is usually a precursor to the worst. Achilles. Yes, as we saw with Kevin Durant several years ago. So, you know, hoping that it's not too serious for Giannis, but it does look like, I mean, he left the arena with a limp today, and they're going to get an MRI. So, and Doc Rivers said the concern is high. So this late in the season, dealing with a serious injury like that, you got the corpses of Dame, Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez trying to lead a team to a playoff series win. I don't see that happening. So could be another early exit for the Bucks.
Which again, if they get another early exit, then it gets spooky.
I mean, Giannis is probably going to start, you know,
he's like
asking out.
He's going to be like, I love New York. And I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like these playoffs can have major ramifications for the East, especially because, like, the Knicks are coming. So now I don't know if they get Giannis because I feel like OKC would absolutely, like, throw everything at him. But, like, if they want to do right by Giannis and Giannis goes, send me to New York, I don't know. I mean, we got a lightly used Julius Randle. I don't know.
The lightly used. Talking about him like he's a sneaker condition. Oh, my gosh.
Shoulder sold separately. I don't know. Anyway, let me not get ahead of myself. Let me not.
But yeah, the road does still run through Boston. And, you know, if all things go as expected in this conference, it should be a clash of the Knicks and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All I'm saying is Jalen Brunson is going to do more than Kyrie Irving did in what, two seasons? That's nuts. If he makes that series competitive against Boston, there will be discourse and conversations that need to be had.
I'm all for it. Let's see. Jordan Bubb, he says 24 points on 10 of 18 for OG tonight is the best offensive game since returning from injury. Knicks are going to need this in the playoffs. Definitely. You know, you're just hoping that he can step into that number two option. We know it's going to be like, you know, probably between him and Dante most nights on who's going to be the number two leading scorer behind Brunson. And you're just hoping those other guys fall in line after.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big thing is just going to be like, who Brunson takes along with him. We even saw it in the first Chicago game where the Miami game where basically like they had Boyan and Dante and Deuce, and it's like Brunson had a rough game. So it's like if a couple of these guys can find their offensive games going along with Brunson, they got a real chance. It just kind of feels like this team has a real chance just given the fact that East is so weak and the fact that they're just so well-rounded.
Yeah, for sure. Chris Bernardi says, hey guys, it's me, lifelong Knicks fan, Stephen A. Smith. I gotta say, Grimes wasn't great tonight, but hell, pick it up. Hardenstein did well coming off the bench. Orange and blue skies, baby. Oh man, Stephen A. is an embarrassment. I don't know how that guy calls himself a Knicks fan. He doesn't even know who's still on the team. But yeah, shout out to Chris Bernhard making fun of Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Jordan Bubb, he says, Jalen Brunson has now recorded consecutive games with 40 points for the second time this season. He's the third Knick to record multiple streaks with consecutive 40 points games in a season, joining Bernard King and Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
This is GOAT level shit right here.
He's the GOAT. He's looking at GOAT Knick trajectory, especially if he gets it done and brings us home to the promised land. He's just incredible, man. I don't know what more you can say about him and his prowess, especially offensively. The leaps that he's made as an offensive player from 2 years ago when we acquired him to now, where it's like he's confidently taking pull-up threes off the dribble. He's playing off movement. He's cutting. He's just doing things that I don't think any of us expected him to do. And if there was an expectation, maybe not this early, but the fact that he's so good at it already is just, I don't know what more you can say about him. So,
yeah, he's been absolutely everything that we've could have wanted in a point guard and a star player and so much more at this point. Also in his last seven games, he's averaging 38.4 points per game, 3.6 rebounds, 8.7 assists, 1.1 steals, shooting 49% from the field and 37.9% from three. Just absolutely elite stuff from him. Again, I don't know what else you can say about what he's done for this team this year. And it's a travesty that he's not getting much more MVP consideration. He should be all NBA first team. Like, no one has had to pull the load that Jalen Brunson has had to pull this year.
And nobody's done it while leading their team to wins. You just see a lot of these other teams crumbling, and the Knicks are going up in the standings. And there's a good chance that the Knicks are going to end up with the 2 seed when I think people thought the 2 seed idea maybe might have been dead after Julius and OG went down. So the fact that they're probably looking at the 2 seed, especially if they win that game against Boston, it's just, I don't know what more you could say about them. Like, if they manage to lock up the 2 seed, then I feel like he should get first team. But he's not going to get it, so I think he'll get votes for it. But he probably just end up being second team and, like, the first guy on second team, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got to put their faves, you know. The league reporters, they got to put their faves.
The league loves Jason Tatum because apparently he doesn't engage in the dark arts.
League loves Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, even though he went 16 for 20 from the free throw line tonight, who definitely doesn't use the dark arts.
No, Shai is an ethical hooper, apparently.
It's funny. It's like it's so funny, like, how many ways, like, Jalen Brunson has to start getting discredited now because he's just that good and people just can't fathom it, because, like, it just goes beyond what they had initially set in their, like, view of him.
Yeah, I think people are just weird, and it's just like, and then, like, the conversation shifted to, oh, his efficiency, and it's like, obviously he's not as efficient as his peers, given the fact that he's playing with two non-shooters at all times on the court, and he lost his second best player, and defenses are doubling up on him because he's the only ball handler on a roster full of, like, 3-and-D wings and bigs. So, yeah, man, the arguments that he used to discredit Brunson don't make any sense if you watch the games, and it just kind of feels like they're going to rob him of some accolades. But, again, like, you can't deny how good he is. I just feel like it's just hard to do, and if you're trying to do it, then you're just being a hater.
Yeah. Let's see. All right, I want to address this because this is, like, boggling my mind today or right now. Jordan Bubb, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. He said this around 10:45. I'm assuming they have made some shots since then. But at this time, they were 0 for 12 from the field combined in the first quarter. The Suns, they trailed the Clippers 37 to 10. Drew Eubanks was the only Sun to make a field goal.
They're down 33 at halftime.
Jesus Christ. I don't understand how a team like the Suns, who, like, they're, like, playoff lives kind of hinge on how they play these last couple games, and they absolutely shit the bed. Not even wet the bed, they shit the bed to start a game at home with playoff, with serious playoff implications, basically.
Yeah, the Suns to me just kind of feel like a team that plays like an Isaiah Thomas team. Just like a bunch of guys who don't really fit together, no leadership, no accountability from the top down. That team sooner or later is probably just going to have to blow up because, like, they have no way of getting better. Like, what's their pathway to getting better? It's health. And you got lucky with Kevin Durant being healthy this year and Devin Booker being healthy this year. Bradley Beal was hurt, but it's also like, where do you improve? Do you want to pay Grayson Allen the money that he's going to want in free agency, given the fact that he's shooting like 48% from three and he also has you over a barrel? Like, you're not going to go anywhere with like Yusuf Nurkić and a bunch of minimum guys. It just feels flawed. And it felt flawed from the beginning. And I don't know what their pivot is now, but they don't have any assets to get out of it. And it feels like they're going to have to trade people, but I don't know who they end up trading unless it's Booker. So,
yeah, they're screwed. They're screwed. I mean, Russ almost put up a triple-double in the first half against them. Like, that is...
If Russell Westbrook is turning back the clock against your franchise, then maybe your franchise needs to fold.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
It's looking grim for them. It's looking real grim. Back to Knicks. Tom Thibodeau on Jalen Brunson being in sixth in ESPN's MVP straw poll. I want a recount. I want one too.
Stop the steal.
O'Connor brings up, don't forget Javonte Green last game also. Yes. Him and Andre Drummond just absolutely Ayo Dosunmu absolutely washed
us. Thank God he didn't play this game, dude. I would have been heated.
Yeah, I couldn't take another like fake shooting game from him.
Bro, that was the fakest game. Like, first of all, they had 3 days rest. Javonte Green has a career night. He turns into fucking prime LeBron. And then Ayo Dosunmu decides he wants to be Steph Curry. It's just... Oh, yeah. That game was so frustrating, man.
Don't we play them again?
Yeah, we play them again in the Garden.
Oh my gosh. Thankfully, it's at the Garden. I'm tired of going to Chicago and playing there.
Yeah, we're done in Chicago. I think we play them last game of the season? Yeah, last game of the season. So, Sunday. I think our next three games are Celtics, Nets, Friday on a back-to-back, which is how the hell do we have back-to-backs in the last week of the season?
It's ridiculous. The NBA schedule makers, they tried their best to screw us over this year. They really did.
Adam Silver is not going to see the pearly gates.
He never was, but yeah, this just kind of just solidifies it even more. Okay.
He will be looking up at his ancestors. That's all I got to say. But I didn't even know what the fuck I was going to say. Otherwise, last 3 years were Celtics, Nets, and Bulls.
Celtics better rest everybody, man. They just saw what happened to Giannis today. I hope they're taking notes. Just relax, okay? Start Peyton Pritchard. Start Sam Hauser. Start O'Shea Brissett. Like,
y'all got no free throws today, man. No free throws.
There's no reason to go hard against the Knicks. Like, relax.
I guarantee you they're going to go full on starting five. They're going to treat it like a game seven.
Like, sit all them boys, yo. Sit Horford. Sit Porzingis. Sit Tatum. Sit White. Sit Holiday. Sit Brown. Sit all of them. Like, I don't want to see none of their, like, key guys playing. I want to see straight, like, ass on the court. That's it.
Boy, I want to see Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard pick and rolls.
I want to see Luke Kornet lobs, okay?
That's what I want to see. I want to see fucking Nemias Quita.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to see JD Davidson hoops. I want to see Xavier Tillman putbacks.
Jaden Springer, whatever he does.
For real.
I don't know what he does, but whatever he does, I want to see him do that.
Get Mazzulla in there. Like, let have Mazzulla suit up and like play a couple. Like, I'm just trying to see y'all guys, because I guarantee you, like, if I'm the Knicks, I'm going for an ankle. Like, put Jericho Sims in there and just like have him dive in somebody's knees, and then give him a couple commercials to like balance it out. But like, I don't know if they like want to deal with like the physicality the Knicks are going to bring, especially in like a do or die game. The Knicks need to win. So,
yeah. Well, let me place this live halftime bet real quick. In the meantime, JK asks, do we even want the two seed potential matchup?
Is no,
Sixers
but
we're Sixers or Heat as it stands.
We don't want the two seed, but we're probably going to get the two seed, because I feel like Bucks and Magic split. If the Bucks and Magic split, then the Knicks probably end up with two seed.
The Bucks and Magic, they play each other twice, right?
Yeah. So if they,
man, depending on like what happens with Giannis, like this could like,
He's not playing the rest of the regular season. I would be shocked if he played the rest of the regular season. So. Yeah. I mean, if he tore his ACL, then that team is like, or like his Achilles, that team is cooked.
Yeah, they're cooked if he's, yeah.
But, I mean, ideally, maybe, okay, actually, no. I think the ideal is not that the Magic lost to the Rockets. The Magic sweep both games from the Bucks. And then we beat the Celtics and we went out. If we went out and the Magic finished 2-1, then we still have third. Or rather, no, that's how we get second. So if we want to keep third, then hopefully the Bucks and the Magic split.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm not scared of either Sixers or Heat in the first round, really.
I'm scared of the Sixers. I will be scared of the Sixers until they go down.
Embiid in the playoffs doesn't move me enough to scare me.
Yeah, not Embiid. Like, the Sixers, whatever. The Heat are what scare me.
I mean, Eric Spoelstra definitely does, for sure. I definitely don't want to see them that soon, but I wouldn't be too scared about it. I don't know. I just the way Heat fans have been talking about their team on the timeline this year, it just doesn't seem like even they even believe like they can go on one of their like fake.
Look, runs. Man, whatever.
I still don't doubt the Pat Riley like blood sacrifice, whatever it may be. The funniest thing today was Heat fans calling Jimmy Butler a terrorist in double overtime. Like, that was the funniest thing today.
Yeah, I am hoping for three, and I'm hoping the Cavs drop to six. That would be the ideal. So I think the Pacers won today. So the fact that the Pacers won means that the Cavs-Pacers game will probably determine 5-6. So if the Pacers win that game, the Pacers would be the fifth seed with the tiebreaker. So the idea will probably be like face the Cavs, be the three seed, Magic 2, and then be at the Magic. I think the Magic will probably end up beating Philly. I could see that happening. And we get the Magic against us, where we have seven home games because they played Orlando.
Oh, yeah. Orlando, MSG.
MSG South.
MSG South. One of many MSG Souths. Jordan Bubb, he says, so tomorrow we're all Dallas Mavericks fans tomorrow, right? Why is that? Who do the Mavericks play tomorrow?
I have no idea who they play tomorrow. I'm gonna check.
Right now, they play the Heat. Oh,
I don't care.
I know. I think it's like if the Heat lose, then we get we clinch.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure we clinch if we win next game anyway. So it's just a matter of like when we clinch instead of actually clinching.
Okay. I guess. Let's see. What else we got here?
They got Nikola Jokic, bro, having 23 points, man. I do not.
Bro, what?
Yes, I don't want to play the Heat, dude. Because their role players are going to do some stupid ass shit, and I don't want that kind of stress on my conscience. Like, do you want to get gamed by fucking Patty Mills and Terry Rozier? Because that shit will happen. And it might break me.
Yeah, I don't think I can handle another Terry Rozier fake shooting performance against us. Because, like, right after he played us, like, he had, like, an abysmal game. I forgot who they played after us. They played the Sixers. And he was... No, he had 22 points that game. Okay, fair. There was another game where he shot shit. Where is this game? All right, so they played us. He had the game against the Sixers. Then it's the Rockets. What do you have? 13 points on shitty shooting. On 4 of 10. Pacers the other day, 4 points, 2 of 7. And he didn't play against the Hawks today. But who knows? He probably would have another shitty shooting night.
Yeah, I just anything, anybody but the Heat. Literally anybody but the Heat. At least round one.
Yeah. M. Barron, he says, doubt Precious is coming back next year if I had to bet.
I told y'all this two months ago.
I think he stays.
Why would he, like...
I don't see where he's going to get, like...
Okay, if I'm Precious, first of all, the Knicks are not giving him the qualifying offer, because if he gets the qualifying offer, he's taking it 100%, and that means you can't trade him without his permission, and the Knicks probably do not want to deal with that.
Fair.
He's a minimum guy, so if the Knicks are probably giving him, like, a little bit higher than the minimum, maybe he stays, but what I've been saying is when the centers are healthy, he's the third best center on the team and he's the fifth best power forward on the team. Now that Randall's out, he's the fourth best power forward on the team because OG is playing the four, Hart is the four, Boyan's better than him, and then it's Precious. So I think it's very clear that, like, he's not a four, he's a five, but then the Knicks have 48 minutes of elite rim protection and the best center rotation without a star in the league. So Precious doesn't have a role in this team. Yeah, like, if I'm him, I'm looking for a place to at least get some opportunity and get some run, because he's not going to play if he's at the Knicks next year. And the Knicks also have two draft picks. Three draft picks if you want to count the second round pick, and then, you know, the Knicks love their seconds.
Very true.
So if I'm Precious, like, I'm not staying here. Like, Precious was an innings eater to get through, like, the bulk of the season. And now that, like, Mitch is healthy and OG's healthy, then, like, yeah, like, you know, like, maybe you need him for, like, a stint just to keep some guys fresh. But that's all his role is going to be. And when Randall is here, then, like, he's not even going to have that role. And again, if I'm the Knicks, why wouldn't I just, like, take a rookie? If I want a guy to ride the end of my bench, just take a rookie. You pay them less, you have them underneath control for longer, and realistically, they'll probably be as effective as Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think he gets re-signed next year. I think if the Knicks end up signing somebody aside from their draft picks, it'll probably be a backup ball handler.
Yeah, the Knicks need that desperately.
They need Chris Paul. You keep laughing, but like, Leon Rose, former client, backup ball handler, he fits the team. Dirty player that every team needs.
Wow.
Good. Josh Hart went to therapy. Shout outs to Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, by the way, for putting that tweet on the fucking roommate spot. I never acknowledged that, but yeah, that was cool.
What else do we got here? Joe Schmel, he says Jalen Brunson is a top three offensive player. Joker, Luka, then Jalen Brunson. Embiid can change my mind if he does regular season stuff in the playoffs. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, we've seen Jalen Brunson, you know, reach certain heights in the playoffs. He averaged 30 against a Spo team that was desperate to stop him and did everything in their power to stop him defensively and just couldn't. And you're seeing Jalen Brunson come back this year even better than then and still putting up numbers efficiently. Teams are still doing whatever they can to stop him. But shout out to the Knicks for trying to find other ways to like get him the ball, even when they like double him and stuff like that, you know? Like they're getting him cutting back door, they're getting him running off screens and stuff like that. So just good to see like Jalen Brunson and the Knicks like fully embracing Jalen Brunson and like doing everything in their power to like empower him. So that way like we can get like the absolute best out of him and not really question anything else.
Yeah, Tommy Tibbs has been coaching his ass off.
Well, this is what he does when he's like faced with like, you know, not when he's faced with adversity, but like, you know, when he's faced with like, you know, just having like not having all his players, like he's just forced to do things that, you know, we've been asking him to try all this time. It just takes him having an injury or two.
But you know what? Better late than never, truthfully.
And if this leads to, you know, more playoff success, hopefully it's something that he, you know, implements into his coaching next year when the team is fully healthy.
And like, if we get to the Eastern Conference Finals, man, this season is gravy. That's all I feel. Second round is great. Eastern Conference Finals, even if you get swept, season is gravy. And if a large part of that would be Tommy Thibs adapting and being able to use Brunson in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, and that's all we've been asking for all this time.
Just, we have, like, movement in our offense, man. We don't just watch pound-to-pound tween hezzies, which, to be fair, like, in the moment, it's good basketball, but the fact, like, the Knicks are diverse and they have different kinds of attacks and they run a bunch of sets in order to get free people and get them open and such, like, There's like a Spo level coach in Tibbs. He just does not like using it for whatever reason.
Yeah. Joe Schmo says also with OG, maybe we won't double Jimmy and leave open spot our pro players. Oh man, that was like the most annoying part of last year's playoff game plan. It was like there's no way like this is our game plan is to double a hobbled Jimmy Butler and force the role players who have been absolutely smoking every shot to continue doing that.
I will say though, since they got OG, like we do not double anymore.
Well, yeah, there's no need to.
Right. But it's also like, even when OG's off, like we don't double anymore because I think he just trusts guys like Deuce and Josh Hart to hold up their end defensively. And he's like, I will fill in the gaps. I will make it so that way if anybody wants to drive, they're meeting bodies in the paint, but we don't hard double anybody. Because I think our perimeter defense is just so elite.
And, you know, you're just hoping that's something that you see carry on into the playoffs. Because, you know, sometimes we see things happen in the regular season. Like, even last year, we saw things in the regular season that happened, and then when we got to the playoffs, Thibs kind of, like, reverted to old ways of thinking and playing the game. So Just hoping this is something that stays consistent in the playoffs, because we know he can revert to other ways that we are not favorable and not, yeah.
Terroristic ways?
Yeah.
Wait, where do you go from Tommy Tibbs to Tommy Terrorist?
And Westbrook got his triple-double, and the Clippers up 30.
Oh, my God. Giving Westbrook a triple-double is just... Making with triple doubles, the Suns are an embarrassing franchise. How the hell does the NBA team have 49 points halfway through the third quarter? Dog, he has 15 assists.
Yep.
He might do another for Nipsey game, dude. He might do it again for Nipsey. Ow.
That's looking like it.
Whoever bet Russell Westbrook triple-double,
I almost did it.
I feel like your hunches, you just need to go with them.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I just pull back on. I'm just like, nah.
You bet like low amounts, bro.
Yeah, I know. I should have pulled the trigger.
Honestly, just like, even if you're like shaky about it, just bet like $2 less.
Yeah. I mean, you after the win I had today, I probably should have just went all out with just betting that, because like,
yeah, especially because you bet on Garrison Matthews, dude. If you get that filthy, you might as well just.
I don't pull the trigger on like some of the like more obvious things, but then I'll just like throw together like the Obi Toppin Garrison Matthews thing today and be like, yeah, whatever.
Which again is filthy.
Man, I'm telling you thought the Peyton Pritchard stuff was nasty. Like, wait till you see these next couple games, what happens in the NBA that I'm just going to have to try to capitalize on.
Man, I don't know if I want to see it, but I don't think I got a choice. So,
no, folks think that parlay today was gross. Wait till you see what's next, man. The NBA in the last couple weeks is super profitable if you just, like, find the right, you know, angles and stuff. You know, you just got to find the right players to bet on. Let's see what else we got here. Ace Bouchard, he says Embiid's free throw merchant business doesn't work in the playoffs. The Sixers will never be a serious threat. Yeah, I'm not worried about them too much. I think the Knicks will take care of that. And I like the way that we've played against them, even when Embiid was healthy and he played. Which he probably shouldn't have played that game, by the way. Or he shouldn't have played that long into the game. He was really trying to stat pad. But yeah, I think we'll play them well. I liked OG's defense on Embiid when we played them that time. I like Hartenstein's defense on him. I think Mitch has gotten better at guarding him. I think Sims does a pretty respectable job even guarding him sometimes. So I'm not too worried about that, because like, I know we can let Tyrese Maxey do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And I'm not really worried about Tobias Harris or anybody else really doing anything. Maybe we get a crazy Kelly Oubre game. Other than that, I'm not worried about the Sixers.
I feel like if they played the Sixers first round, they probably just end up doing what like UConn did to Purdue, where it's like, okay, cool. Let Joel get like his 30 and 10, but like don't let anybody else score.
Yeah.
And I feel like if the Knicks offense will cooperate with that, then it would be a pretty effective strategy where it's like, okay, we're just gonna box someone like Tyrese Maxey and have him make decisions on an off ball in a playoff setting for the first time in his career. Like a lead ball handler and a decision maker. It's different playing off of James Harden gravity compared to like actually having the ball in your hands and having to like be that fulcrum. And I don't think he's ready for it yet, which is no shade at him, but it's also like, it's really hard playing that position.
Yeah. Jordan Bubb, he says, which team has the worst situation, the Suns or the Cavs? Or we could just laugh at the Nets.
I mean, we could always laugh at the Nets, but it's the Suns. Yeah. But it's the Suns because at the very least, like,
the Cavs have young talent still.
Yeah, like you have guys under 25. So like in theory, you're like, okay, at least we could like build on our young guys in practice. It's maybe one of them who are like decent and can handle usage. The Suns don't have anything. The Suns have no pivots. The only pivot the Suns have is trading away Devin Booker.
Yeah, and I don't know if you really want to do that, really.
Yeah, I will take him on the Knicks gladly, but I don't think that'll happen because once you trade Booker, you're essentially admitting the fact that, like,
it failed. You failed.
Yeah.
And you can't do that as a new owner.
Yeah, like, you went in a year ago, you traded for Kevin Durant, and then a year later, you're going, all right, well, Kevin Durant, you're having a second team All-NBA season, but we're going to trade you because we traded away everything else to get Bradley Beal.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. The situation that they've gotten themselves into. They didn't even need to do the Bradley Beal thing because Bradley Beal's, like, sort of redundant with what they already had at the time. But hey, they want to go all in on, you know, a big three of sorts. And we're seeing what happens when you do that. And I mean, with this new salary cap situation, you're just left with a bunch of minimum guys, and it's just not something that is sustainable in today's NBA, I think.
Minimum guys with team options. So either they're ass and they stay because they're getting guaranteed money, or they leave and they get paid. So,
yeah. And you don't win on the court or off the court.
Yep.
JK says Brunson is now tied for fourth in offensive EPM behind only Luka, Jokic, and Embiid. Tied with Haliburton, which maybe Tyrese can explain why he's still up there in these advanced metrics, because I don't fucking get it.
White privilege. That's the best I could think of.
Tyrese Haliburton?
He's half white.
Close partial enough. Partial white privilege?
Exactly. It's just privilege. I don't know. I have no idea why he's like, was his first half of the season that incredible? That by the time
that's what I'm thinking at this point,
like January rolled around and he legitimately turned into like
a pumpkin.
Yeah. Before last game, he was a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's been brutal. But yeah, I don't know. Ace Bouchard says everyone named Tyrese is an honorary white, by the way.
That's real. That's real as fuck. I appreciate that.
Let's see. JK also says you blew your chance of ever getting another tweet on Jalen's podcast because of the Jergens tweet tonight, by the way.
Oh, they'll find me. They'll probably see it, and I'll probably be on there again. It's okay. I'm in my FBL Sam era where, like, every other week wow. I get a bigger tweet. So, like, it'll work out for me. I've had like three bangers in a month. I don't know why.
The odds are in your favor.
I don't. It's my time. I have tweeted about Jergens Brunson for like a good couple of months now.
Jergens Brunson. Wow.
Jergens Brunson, because he be jacking off in these niggas. I've said it already.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I have definitely made that tweet. I gotta see if I definitely made that tweet. Okay.
17-3 for the Knicks with OG and Anobi. That is apparently a 70 win pace.
I mean, they're saying us in Boston are the super teams, man. Next season will be wars in the Eastern Conference. They just work so well together. It's like you give an elite offensive player an elite 3-and-D wing. Like, that's how you get production and good fitting pieces.
Yeah. Let's see. What else we got here? Next year is going to be very exciting.
I mean, what?
I mean, this team's probably going to look pretty much the same, right, next year? I mean,
provided they don't make a trade.
I mean, Burks is probably out of here, right?
Burks is a free agent.
Oh, yeah. So, good. Goodbye, Burks.
Yeah, it would be Boyan and whatever you can get. Like, I think the Knicks probably do end up making a trade this offseason. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it, but I feel the Donovan Mitchell thing probably has legs. The only thing is, like, if they get the 3-6 matchup with the Cavs, do you want to trade him to the team that's going to spank you twice in the playoffs 2 years in a row? Probably not.
Yeah, that does look a bit.
Yeah, like, if you're Donovan Mitchell, you'd look like a coward. Like, Brunson spanked you for 3 years in a row and you're running to his team?
To be his Robin?
For real, like, that would be, that's disgusting. Like, aside from KD joining the Warriors, that's probably one of the most bitch made moves you could make. But also, like, for the Knicks, it makes sense to use him. It makes sense to do that because, like, you could do Boyan, DiVincenzo, and then, like, those 10-day guys would be extended, and you would have enough money for Donovan, so.
Okay.
I feel like they would trade Donovan. They feel like they would trade Devo over Mitch, by the way, just because if you trade DiVincenzo, that means you're replacing him with fucking Donovan Mitchell, and then you still have Miles. So
that makes sense.
Versus you trade Mitch, then it's like, who's your backup five? Precious? You don't want
your that. Favorite.
You do not want Precious to chew up playing the five. Or like you have to go on to free agency. It's not like a minimum dude, like James Wiseman or whatever.
James Wiseman.
Wow. I'm just thinking of like tall dude who can jump, who Tibbs is going to be like, never do anything that isn't rebound or put back. If you put like James Wiseman on like the Thomas Thibodeau diet plan, then like,
nah, I trust Tibbs to like be able to work with any type of center. So
yeah, like you can give him, like give Tibbs like Bol Bol. He'd be in Wemby conversations. That's not influenced by Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq would definitely endorse that type of hopes right there.
Yeah, so it's just like,
oh, the Suns are kind of making this a game.
Don't let them trick you.
I know the Suns always fold in the fourth quarter, anyways. But it's you know, it's fun to dream a little bit, right? Suns fans are probably dreaming about some miraculous comeback. They scored 35 points in this quarter. We know the Clippers like to choke too. Man, this is a battle of two choking ass teams right now.
No, for real.
This could go really down to the wire, actually. Clippers like to make comebacks. They also like to choke. Suns like to make comebacks. They like to choke. Interesting combination.
Look, either way.
Oh my God. By the way, shout out to Jordan Bub for this. Russell Westbrook's last triple-double came on January 15th, 2023, while he was still playing for the Lakers, per Stathead. That was 450 days ago. The Suns should be absolutely and utterly ashamed of themselves.
Bro, they're cooked. I don't know who's a more cooked team between the Suns and, like,
the Cavs and the Nets. And
they're just... Okay, the Nets are self-voluntarily cooking themselves. They're just like, it'll be worth it when our Halloween parties are like spooky or whatever. It's just, I don't know. I still don't know what the fuck the Suns are doing. Or the Nets are doing, rather. They're just...
They don't know what they're doing either.
They just don't want to lose New York. So let's make Mikal Bridges the face of our franchise.
They should leave. They really should.
They should go to Seattle.
Would Seattle even embrace them?
I mean, at this point, Seattle will take anything.
Probably. JK asks, with the Knicks on a 69 win pace with OG in the lineup, is a potential offseason trade even necessary?
Yes, because... ideally, you want to make that trade before this tax apron, because the Knicks project to be a second apron team for the foreseeable future after extensions kick in.
Okay.
So, like, ideally, you want to be able to, like, make that trade now, get rid of Bojan's salary, whatever other salary you need to meet to match the number, and then be able to kind of, like, have that piece that potentially could swing a series with Boston in your favor. And I'm sorry, I'm not trusting Julius Randle to the playoffs until I see proof of concept.
That is very fair.
Especially if he's going to be hurt like he has been hurt the last 2 years.
Yeah, he keeps getting hurt at the worst time.
Yeah, so it's like maybe he just might not be the guy just due to health or performance or whatever the reason is. So I feel like the Knicks probably take advantage of the fact that, like, they have those expiring contracts and those desirable salaries in that salary range in order to bolster the team.
Folks thought I cooked up something crazy. See, I'm just seeing this parlay on the timeline. I'm about to go crazy. I'm about to retweet it. Shout out to Jordan Bob, Super Chat. Super Chats are available, friends. If you'd like to support the channel.
Who has had a better Knicks legacy, Brunson or Melo? I never seen Carmelo Anthony have back-to-back 40 pieces.
Let me see.
He never did.
Hmm.
He never did it for the Knicks. Okay. Jalen Brunson, with another deep playoff run, is going to surpass anything Melo has did. Those legacy all-star bids are not moving
anymore. Jalen Brunson, Carmelo Anthony, Patrick Ewing, Bernard King. They all had consecutive 40-point games.
Oh. Well, whatever. I'm a hater.
Melo, I feel like Melo's done, like, every, like, Knicks scoring thing you can think of. It's just, like, Jalen Brunson's, like, just doing it on, like, winning terms. That's why it's just that much more appreciated.
Yeah, because Jalen Brunson is a winner and Carmelo Anthony is a fat slob.
I don't think it's all on Carmelo Anthony.
He can't even make a first team all NBA.
That was during the LeBron Heat years. He was never gonna get that.
Brunson's gonna make it probably during the peak Luka years and shit. So I don't want to hear it. Well, next year, first team.
Man. Let's see. Yeah, we've gotten through a lot of these comments, guys. Shout out to everyone that's been here. All right, so the Knicks' next game is versus
the Celtics Thursday.
Celtics on Thursday. Will the Celtics be resting players?
We hope so.
There is a rule that the Celtics do have to abide by for nationally televised games. That game is a nationally televised game.
Only one of them can rest.
That they can't, like, rest stars like that, I think. So they might like play them for, like, what, the first, like, 10-15 minutes and then just, like, sit them if they really have to abide by this rule and don't want to get, like, penalized, I guess. Because, like, today's game was on national TV as well, and they probably would have sat their guys, and they're probably, do they play on Wednesday? No, they don't. Of course not. But they play us, and then they play on Friday versus the Hornets. They're definitely going to be resting their players that game for sure. But yeah, I mean, I hope they rest some of their guys. But yeah, I expect, you know, if they don't, this will probably be a very tightly contested game. But yeah. On the road in Boston, this is our fifth time playing Boston this year, right?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. We have to play them and the Bucks 5 times this year. It's absolutely ridiculous. The play-in tournament, they have to find a way to fix that somehow, some way. I don't know how they do it, but that's on them to figure it out. I'm not in charge of this shit. But yeah, I think we're going to end things off here. You know, Knicks got another win. Jalen Brunson put up another amazing performance. strengthening that MVP case. And the haters, they will continue to be mad because Jalen Brunson's not on their team and he keeps doing their teams bad. And they're going to be even more upset seeing that Villanova Knicks slam cover tomorrow.
How special. The Knicks are back, baby.
They are indeed. Shout out to everyone that tuned in. Shout out to Jordan Buff for the super chat. Shout out to everyone for their comments. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe. We're on our way to 2K subs, so definitely help us out with that. We'll be back on Thursday following the Knicks-Celtics game. Hopefully, the Knicks take care of business. Knicks are able to get another win, hopefully getting us towards that two seed. And yeah, we'll see you guys then. Make sure you guys check out all the links in the description. We got links to the site, merch, Patreon, and Twitter. And yeah, everyone enjoy your night and the next day without Knicks basketball. Peace.